Good evening. This is George Koulouris. All of us know by now that atomic energy can be a blessing or it can destroy everything we love. Those who know most about it say that ways must be worked out to control it. But time is running out. Fear and suspicion are growing. If we fail, every nation will be forced to take measures to protect itself. This is a story of what could happen to our way of life in an atomic arms race.
Horsemen. All horsemen rode across the land, and their names were...
War,
pestilence,
famine,
death.
And to these now is added a fifth horseman, the threat of the atom.
The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Fifth Horseman, written and produced by Arnold Marquis. Here is an account of the significance of atomic energy and the problems it poses to mankind. Starring George Koulouris, this is the fifth in the series titled Zero Minus One.
Yes.
Everything seems to be so quiet.
We've only been gone 10 days, Allegra.
I know.
Seems a year.
This was not like coming home any other time. This was a reprieve. The streets were half deserted. There was a sort of hush. There were a few cars on the road, but no one hurrying. No one was sounding his horn. The people were just rolling back into the city. Back to their homes. I could feel my nerves quiver, my scalp draw tight across my skull as I thought of what had happened just 10 days ago.
It's a fact. Came straight from Washington. War is imminent. Atomic bombs will be falling all over the country any minute. Let me out of here!
Get out of my way!
Hundreds of thousands of people in panic, pouring out of the city like rats leaving a sinking ship. And us with them, Martha and Allegra and I. We were lucky. At least we had friends in the country. 10 days of holding your breath, waiting beside the radio, ready to hear that atomic bombs were exploding in our cities.
Oh, Daddy, you missed our street.
Huh?
You went right past our street.
Oh, I missed it, too.
Well, I'll drive around the next block. The quietness of the street was frightening. People solemnly coming back to their homes. The same people whose eyes were blazing with fright 10 days ago, driving pell-mell out of the city, their horns screaming. We've been waiting for this a long time. Ever since all attempts to put atomic bombs under international control came to naught 10 years ago, back in 1946. Yes, we knew that all the countries had been working on atomic bombs ever since. The world divided into armed camps, secrecy becoming deeper and deeper, suspicion growing, tension more and more unbearable.
Oh, there's our house, there's our house.
Oh, it never looked so good.
Oh, and there's Mr. Blutter next door. He must have just got home, too.
Yes. Well, we're home.
Thank heavens. Allegra, will you take in these blankets?
Oh, yes.
I'll take the other things.
I'm bringing the grip.
Don't drop those things now, Allegra.
Oh, no, I won't.
Well, you're back, are you?
Yes.
Where did you go?
Oh, to friends, 100 miles up the country.
I went out to the lake. Her drinking water might be poisoned. I figured it might be smart to be near the lake.
Yes.
If you ask me, running the risk of our cities being blown off the map just for the right to fly over a faraway country is foolishness. It's not worth it.
Yes.
As things are now, nobody's going to be sure from one minute to the next whether atomic bombs are going to fall on us. We'll be in bed
soon. Hello there. Well, did you get over your fright?
Hello, Noble.
Hello.
Didn't expect to see you back so soon.
Well, I figured if they gave us a whole week to get out of the cities, they wouldn't do it this time.
Who's going to hit us? With the stock of atomic bombs we've got, who's going to pick a fight with us? I didn't run away.
Listen, Noble, there's not going to be any warning.
Well, if you want to let them stampede you into panic, that's your business. Government's been spending money on planning and talking about dispersal for 10 years now and nothing happened.
Up and down the street, I could see other cars coming home. People piling out of them with armfuls of bedding and clothes and going back to their houses. We sat around for hours that night, talking. We didn't feel like going to bed, and we didn't make Allegra go to bed. We wondered if the security police really would come now, as the government had said, and if they really would disperse us and our factories.
This isn't the last time. It's only the first.
Will we have to leave town like this again, Daddy?
I don't know. The next morning, it started.
I'll get it.
I went to the door, too.
Security police, madam.
Yes?
By order of the security department, all buildings in town are being searched. Don't get excited. Routine inspection.
Well?
Go ahead, Sergeant.
All right, now, sir, you take care.
They went through every room in the house and down to the cellars. They spent quite a while there, knocking at all walls and handling queer-looking instruments. When they'd finished, they took Martha and Allegra and me back into the living room and checked every detail of our security records, which had been on file in the precinct headquarters of the security police for several years.
All of you report to the precinct headquarters for fingerprinting within 3 days.
All right.
Blair, next door, was over at our place the minute the security police were through with him.
Just what I said. The government's clamping down because they know the bombs might start exploding any minute. Mark my word. They're going to start clearing us out of the cities. Permanent. The security has information from our agents abroad. Of course, it's secret. They can't tell it even to the Congress. But they know what they're doing. They'll start with moving.
When I drove out to go to work, Noble stopped me on the street.
It's an invasion of privacy. Invasion of our constitutional rights. And I, for one, don't propose to let the government push me around. It's time we, as citizens, direct our representatives to speak for us in Congress. Is the whole world going to be turned on its ear because somebody gets...
I drove out to the plant. I didn't know if I'd still have my job or not. A bunch of the men I work with were milling around outside. I parked the car. Falaz and another fellow came over to me.
You might as well go home. The place is closed.
Closed?
Yeah, the government's moving the plant 2,000 miles away to a hole in the ground.
Our plant?
Yes. Try and get in.
They're dispersing it. And that's not all. 7 other plants in this town have got orders to move.
Well, what's going to happen to us?
I say we should strike. They just can't move our living out from under us like this.
The management's yelling, too. Putting the heat on the government to try to keep the shop here.
We got some rights.
And the government must think that war is certain to come. Martha and I talked it over.
But we can't take Allegra out into the wilderness like that. That's no place to bring up a young girl.
Where am I going to work?
I know, but leaving our home with every cent we have in it and moving out into the desert to some makeshift town.
I've heard that the factory's to be built right down into the rocks and the houses and shops will be scattered over 100 square miles.
Well, you haven't been ordered to leave here.
Even with the 7 main factories out, this town will be one of the first targets for the atomic bombs. It's the communication hub for the whole region.
But we're not in trouble with anybody. The aviation dispute has been settled.
Well, the government apparently doesn't think so. They don't want to take chances. Then the strike was called. The workers in all the plants that had been ordered to move out west paraded through the streets. The streets were full of people, not only the workers, but businessmen, too. Everyone will be affected by moving the plants out of the city.
I'm not going to move out of town, that's a sin.
And Noble was down there, like everyone
else.
What's
going to happen to business here in town when all the industry is gone? It'll be a ghost town, that's what it'll be.
Well, it's not only our town here, it's every town that has important concentrations of industry.
Yes, and the big cities, too. Look what they're doing to Chicago and New York.
But people can't stay in the cities if we're expecting atomic war.
There's not going to be any atomic war if we keep our heads, don't get into foolish disputes and make other nations mad at us.
All nations are mad at each other. Nobody trusts anybody else in the world. They don't trust us, and we don't trust them.
Listen, quit worrying about other countries. Thing for you and a lot of other people is to start thinking about what's happening right here in our country. governments regimenting both labor and industry, moving people out of their homes into the desert. This is America. The government has no right to interfere in private affairs.
What was happening in our town was happening in almost 100 places all over the country. Afraid of atomic sabotage and spying, the government trebled the number of security police. They were everywhere. Relations with the rest of the world were almost at a standstill. Only very few people were permitted to leave the country or to come in from abroad.
The political fight is rolling up in the climax in Congress over the Emergency Power Act, which would empower the president and his advisors to act for the United States without consulting Congress. Defenders of civil liberties are fighting a losing battle against the argument that other nations, because of their form of government, can make instant decisions as to atomic warfare, while the U.S., because of its constitutional processes, can move only very slowly. The charge that the government
is
already...
We are at a disadvantage.
What are you talking about?
Don't talk to me like that, Noble. You were one of those that ridiculed the idea of international control of atomic weapons 10 years ago. Now look what we've got.
We don't have to be scared of anybody. The United States has got more atomic bombs and long-range rockets than any nation on Earth.
Let me tell you something, Noble. I heard on good authority that some foreign nations have bombs 10 times as terrible as ours, and that they've discovered a new kind of bacteria. And I heard
you
that...
You heard?
Yes! When I was in Washington last month, I heard that rocket launching sites have been set up against us even right here in the Western Hemisphere. They say that some countries have leased islands in the Pacific to be used as rocket sites against us, so we'll never be sure where the rockets come from.
There was no work to do. The plant was still closed. The workers were still in town. I sat by the radio all day.
And so the battle was ended with the victory for the Emergency Power Act. Effective immediately, the president and his advisors are empowered to make any military or economic move they deem necessary. The Congress has retained the right to investigate the actions of the government after the emergency is over. But when will it be over, if at all? With this drastic move, some of the fundamental principles
of American freedom... That's dictatorship. That's military dictatorship.
Soon it started. A force of security police came into town. Armed with Tommy guns, they were deployed around the plant. The machinery was being moved out, and they didn't want to take chances of anybody interfering with the removal. All who worked at the plant came down to see it, but the security police kept us back a good distance.
They're doing the same thing at all 7 of the plants, moving them out bag and baggage.
They seem to be in a hurry, too.
Yeah, but who's going to run those machines for them out there?
We are.
Not me. I got my home here. I ain't moving out into any wilderness.
The laws was determined. I stood there a long time, listening to the talk, watching the machinery being moved out. I tried to picture what the town would be like with all 7 plants closed down. Well, where would I get a job? I went home.
Are we going to move away, Daddy?
I don't know.
There's just been an announcement on the radio. The trouble's broken out again in Asia.
Who made the announcement?
Came from Washington.
It's about that same thing, airplanes.
One of our planes has been shot down and 3 others forced to land.
Oh, that's why they're in such a hurry moving out the plant.
Are they going to bomb us, Daddy?
I went to the door. It was Blever.
Did you get the news?
Yeah, Martha just told me.
I don't see why they don't settle this thing. Are we going to get blown to pieces for the sake of aviation rights over someplace thousands of miles away? Why don't we fly around it or stay away from it completely? You know what I heard?
Oh, no, Blether, but I didn't want Allegra and Martha to hear any more of his rumors, whether he was right or wrong.
Shall I answer it, Daddy?
Yes.
What'll happen is that they'll just...
Security police.
Oh, security police.
They came in, asked for my identification card, and then asked Blether for his.
Oh, yes, Mr. Blether. We've just come from your house. Your wife told us you were here. Yes. Here are your evacuation orders. Here are yours.
He handed sealed envelopes to Blether and me.
You will make preparation to leave with the draft to the factory dispersal areas on Saturday.
Leave? What about my house? Oh. What about my family?
You can take your family along or leave it behind as you wish. You'll find instructions in the envelope.
I went out for a walk, alone. I tried to figure it out. First, I hardly noticed the people on the streets. And then I noticed there were more and more. Many had their orders to move. As I approached downtown, I could feel the excitement. Thousands of people, helpless, all facing the same thing, all bursting to talk about it. And there, ahead of me in the crowd, was Noble.
This is a violation of our constitutional rights. Are we going to stand by and let a dictatorship move us around like cattle?
He's right.
It was Fellows.
They're not going to move me out of town without binding me hand and foot.
What has become of the Bill of Rights? And what has become of the...
Demonstrations broke out all over the country. A couple of million people had been ordered to follow their factories to the dispersal areas. I had 2 days left. That night, the government put a general on the radio from Washington. He was put in charge of the whole relocation. Martha and Allegra and I sat home, listening to him.
The nations of the world have now been working on atomic bombs for 10 years. Our country did all we could to prevent this development by international agreement, and to keep our atomic secrets. But others have refused our outstretched hand. We now have intelligence reports that atomic bombs more efficient than those dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in the last war are being produced in several foreign lands. We have tried, during these 10 years since 1946, to work out some means of defense against this danger. We have had some success with interception of rockets, but not enough for making our cities secure from attack. The greatest danger in the crisis which now confronts us is the possibility of surprise attack. Our only chance to escape sudden destruction is dispersal. We are late. Very late. Dispersal in some measure has been underway since 1946. Now we must proceed with it full speed. Many of you listening to me tonight have already received your dispersal orders. More of you will receive them soon. It is in your own interest to follow them. Your chances of surviving an atomic war are 10 times greater in a dispersal area than in a city. By dispersing the launching platforms for our atomic rockets, much of our capacity to strike back will withstand the first enemy blow. We shall then strike back. Millions of us will not live. But we can hope that our country will be saved. I ask you, in the name of the government, and in the hope you and yours may be among the survivors, that you obey your dispersal orders and cooperate in every way possible. May we have a better tomorrow.
We're going with you, Allegra and I.
Oh, good. I didn't want Daddy to leave us.
We took what we could carry, blankets, clothes, personal things. Reported as instructed at the railway station. Like being exiled.
I'm glad to go. I'm really glad.
Leather took his family with him.
Only thing I'm worried about is my house. Who's going to buy it? Nobody's going to live in a city that's going to be...
Will compensate you.
Come on, Allegra.
Are we going to get on now?
The from the plant came up to me.
Look at the security police everywhere. Like we're being taken to a concentration camp.
Yes.
I'd like to know how long they're going to keep us out there.
We're going to live out there the rest of our lives. Which may not be long.
Very little talk on the trip west. Most of the men had their families with them. Nearly everyone just looked out of the window. Every once in a while, Leather came by.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to set up shadow factories, miles away from the operating plants like the one we're going to. So if the one we work in gets blown up, they'll have substitute factories already.
Allegra looked at Leather and then looked at me. Leather left. I walked into the next coach and sat down with Falaz.
You see this fellow coming down the aisle?
Yes.
He's the man that spoke on the radio that night, 2 days before we left.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. I'm going to ask him something.
Pardon me, would you tell me something?
If I can.
Isn't it true that even though the first atomic attack may kill 20 or 30 million people and smash a good part of our production, that we'd do the same thing to the attacking nation? And after that, it'd just be a war of armies like it's always been.
Well, that's hard to say. After the atomic bombs explode, airborne troops may parachute out of the sky and try to use the confusion to seize strategic points all over the country.
You think all our cities will be hit at once?
Very likely. New rockets have been developed to reach any point on Earth. They may bring not only atomic bombs, but also germs to spread epidemics and kill crops.
The train stopped at a siding out in the country. They took us by trucks to the dispersal areas that signed our plant.
Where's the school, Daddy? Isn't there any school?
I don't know, Allegra.
Oh, there must be. There's so many children.
Maybe it's one of those barracks right down close to the ground.
The carpenters were working feverishly on emergency housing. The living quarters were dispersed over a wide area. No two houses were close together. The plant was a long distance away. A bus picked us all up every day.
Why hasn't there been any information about the trouble in Asia?
I don't know.
Maybe the whole thing's blown over.
I don't think so, Philas. If it had, why are they working day and night on that deep shelter near the plant?
The general said on the radio before we left that they're going ahead with dispersal full speed even if the present crisis is solved. In case another comes.
Uh-huh. But I can feel something's coming.
Who's going to attack us?
Well, I'll be glad when they get that shelter done. But I've heard that if they blow radioactive dust down into it, we'll die like rats down there. And if we don't, we won't be able to come out for days without being killed by the radioactivity all over the ground above.
There was no place to go in off hours. There were no theaters to go to. As long as the crisis lasted, they didn't want too many people together in any one place. So we talked among ourselves. Allegra told us what was happening at school.
They call it general disaster training. All of us get it.
And what is this, Allegra?
Oh, all kinds of things. They give each one of us a place to go in case of alarm. They teach us how to handle instruments to measure radiation and how to clean contaminated things.
Oh.
And tomorrow we'll start getting first aid instruction. And then you know what?
What?
They're going to teach us how to fight fires.
Did you hear about Falaz?
Falaz, what do you mean?
He's been arrested. He's a saboteur.
Saboteur? Nonsense.
Yes, he is. The security police picked him up. They caught him with part of an atomic bomb.
Falaz? Oh, no, no, that can't be.
It's true. He was going to blow the plant up. You know, with an atomic bomb, you don't have to put it right under the thing you want to blow up. All you have to do is...
Within a matter of minutes after Blether left, the security police were at the door.
Your registration cards, please.
We gave them to them.
All buildings in the area are being searched. Carry on, Sergeant.
They went over all the nooks and crannies of the house. From our place, we could see security police taking up positions at corners, and across the rough terrain, we could see them in squads moving in and out of houses. At last, they were through searching our place.
A curfew has been established. You will not leave your house until tomorrow noon unless you hear the warning siren. In that case, you will at once go to the nearest shelter.
Hope has not yet been abandoned that an agreement can be reached. But the President has now placed the entire nation on alert. The President asks that every man, every woman, and every child remain calm and stand by to carry out orders. Our forces are disposed and prepared to take whatever action necessary. We are now leaving the air, but leave your radios on to receive instructions.
Do we have to just wait now?
Yes. Just wait.
We waited. We talked about our home and people we knew. I wondered where they were. Outside, it was getting dark. We stood at the window and looked out. Shadows were settling over everything. Gloom. After a while, we couldn't make out anything. Allegra asked me to tell her about when I was her age.
Listen, the siren. That's it, that's it.
Are the bombs going to come now?
That means we've got to go to the shelter, Allegra.
Oh.
Let's get some blankets and clothes to get them out. The bus should be here to pick us up any minute. Hurry. Everyone huddled together in a bomb shelter. Families, friends. All you could hear was the muttering and the praying.
What in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Martha held Allegra in her arms, and I just sat there on the stone floor beside them. The general went from one group to another, reassuring them. Leather spoke up, and everyone listened.
This is the zero hour, isn't it?
Well, it may be a false alarm.
Then why are they sounding the siren?
Well, the men on the radar watch stations are new. They're nervous.
I think it is the zero hour.
If it isn't, it's zero minus one.
Why didn't somebody do something to prevent this? Why didn't somebody do something?
I know now, sitting here, with my arm around Martha, and with Allegra looking up at me, that the life as we know and loved it is past, and there may never be a tomorrow. People are sitting like this, huddling in shelters all over the world, everywhere, waiting for disaster and death. And in other shelters, their sons, brothers, fathers are keeping their fingers on the switches to let this disaster loose. And none of them wants it. None. They all want to live in peace and be free and safe. Why can't they break out in the last moment before the first button is pushed? Why can't they?
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard George Koulouris, starring in the fifth program in NBC's new series, The Fifth Horseman, written and directed by Arnold Marquis. An account of the significance of atomic energy and the problems it poses to mankind. Next week, at this time, over most of these stations, the National Broadcasting Company will present the sixth program in this series of eight, titled Doomsday, a story of what can happen to our land should control of atomic energy fail and war come. Music for The Fifth Horseman is composed and conducted by Thomas Peluso. The Fifth Horseman came to you from Hollywood. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.